Hess, May 30th, 2005. What training do you get about racial profiling?
Besides life experience, you know, learning how to deal with different cultures, just, you know, as a matter of maturing and being older. We've had, our department, Hillsborough Police Department, has provided a lot of cultural training where we're learning more about different cultures besides, you know, the Caucasian or the European American culture. So we're a little able to understand what's happened and can be a little more empathetic toward what's going on in your life.
What do you guys actually do in your training?
In that type of training?
Yeah.
Usually we learn, you know, and a lot of it's the same because it's actually less about learning how to treat people differently because of their race as it is learning to treat everybody the same. I think that's a very important piece. And that is a lot of it. What has helped, though, is we learned a lot about cultures and how cultures have matured, or the family structure of different cultures that may be different from ours.
As far as the happenings of, like, 9/11, have you had to have any training about this is what the demographics of someone that could possibly commit a crime is? Like, all racism aside, like, honestly, is there a certain set of happenings or looks, or this guy has this car and he's this race with this kind of clothing on, that means I should probably check him out more, or is there anything like that?
Well, you know, we don't do it necessarily by race, we do it by behavior, you know, and racial profiling, you're profiling somebody strictly because they're some race, or, you know, sexual profiling because of sexual preferences is absolutely wrong. But profiling people by their behavior, I think, is a different story. If we know that, you know, if we've got a drug house on the corner and we know that John Doe lives there, John Doe drives this car, and John Doe makes a dope run every Friday, well, we might be profiling John Doe based on those activities. You know, not anything because of his race or anything. So, you know, and we haven't, you know, and I can speak very much for myself and Hillsborough Police. You know, we haven't profiled, you know, any of the Middle Eastern cultures because of 9/11. You know, and again, it's based all on behavior and what we see and actions that we can document, as opposed to them, oh, they're Iraqi, obviously they're a bad guy. But that's not true. So.
Do you have any training to avoid accusations of that? Like, this is how to, like, with your John Doe example, is there any training that you have to, like, okay, this is how to look at John Doe without discriminating or anything like that?
Sure, it's either, you know, again, it's just based on behavior. If you can document the behavior, then there shouldn't be any question of whether or not we did it for any other reason.
Okay, this is a traffic subject stop graph, and we wanted to know if you knew how this data is interpreted.
I have no idea. This is the first time I've seen similar data, but I haven't seen this particular page.
One of my personal, I saw that it says that, you know, if you look at the graph, well, Native Americans must be awesome people because they have such a low percentage that are stopped. But then you think, like, well, there's not a very high percentage of Native Americans in Hillsborough. So is that taken into thought when reading these graphs, or are you just supposed to suspect that Native Americans are good people?
Well, if you read the graph, I think as it should be represented, what you say is correct, Christian, that you've got to look at the percentage of population in not only the community but the surrounding area. And look at that. And so if you do take that into effect, you know, not looking at the graphs, not looking at the percentages, or not knowing the percentages, then you know, that's something you've got to investigate. You know, what percentage of the population is Native American?
Mm-hmm.
And does the stop percentage represent that? And then I would also want to compare that to the Asian, the Black, and Hispanic stop percentage.
Mm-hmm.
So.
The Hillsborough Police Department has gone through several strategic planning processes. Mm-hmm. What has been your experience with those?
Strategic planning is a good tool to, I think, set direction. and I think we've been pretty successful in doing that. One thing I think it has a tendency to do is to set us up for, okay, we said this was going to happen. 5 years ago we said this was going to happen, and now it's happened. I think sometimes we set us up for an expected outcome as opposed to where we should be.
Could you explain real quick what is the strategic planning process?
Sure. It's basically a plan to get from point A to point B. What do we want to look like 5 years down the road? And how do we want to get there? It's basically what it is.
Okay. Also, school discipline has gone to more criminal these days. Like, you know, it used to be if a kid punched a kid in school, that the kid got suspended. Now a kid punches a kid in school and they get assault charges. Is there anything that you've seen over time that would make this true? Or people getting more violent? Or is the community getting just more aware?
First of all, I don't think we're arresting any more people than we were, than I know, 3 years ago, as far as the arrests go in schools. I think it's just because, you know, having an officer on campus all the time, and when it does happen, it's very obvious and word gets around, so I think the numbers are inflated just through gossip and rumors. And certainly in major assault cases, I mean, there's no question you need to be involved. Mm-hmm. But for the little fights in school, you know, one kid punches the other one punches back and it's over. You know, police rarely get involved in those. I rarely get involved in those, except it may be a matter of counseling or just kind of an assistance to the parents to help them out a bit. But we really don't charge that many.
Do you think the numbers have changed over the past 25 years? You mentioned the three.
Oh, I think they have, and strictly because society is becoming less. I think our culture has become more violent. It has. And I think society is saying, okay, an arrest is one more tool we can use to help people learn that this isn't the right thing to do.
What do you think is causing us to become more violent?
Oh, there are a number of factors. Television and the media is one. And I actually think that's a lot of it. I think it's become so accepted in television and in media, you know, movies and video games, that we become desensitized to it. When kids, young kids or something, 4 or 5, 6 year olds, are exposed to this, you know, when they may have learned that, okay, punching someone is wrong, well, now they've got a video game where the intent is to just go out and punch people. Or the intent is just to go out and shoot people in the video game. And I think that conditions us a little bit, so say, it's no big deal. Where it is. You know, we shouldn't be in other people. I won't say that's the major, I won't say it's the only cause, but I think that's one of the major ones. And I think as society, we become more accepting of it.
And about hate crimes, do state laws require the documenting of hate crimes that happen in Hillsborough?
They do, yeah. In fact, any hate crime is reported separately in the Oregon Uniform Crime Reporting Statistics.
What is considered a hate crime? Because I know, like, a while back, a bunch of people spread neo-Nazi pamphlets on someone's lawn or something like that. Is that a crime? Is that considered a hate crime?
Well, they didn't distribute it on the lawn. They were actually distributed legally.
Mm-hmm.
So they actually didn't break the law by distributing the pamphlets, and the pamphlets weren't aimed at any one specific person. So there really wasn't a crime. They were just an expression of the person's First Amendment rights. Whether we agree with their statement or their mindset is one thing, but their right to do that is still there. In order for a crime to be a hate crime, the crime has to be committed because someone is of a specific race, or sexual preference. I believe sexual preference is covered. I'll have to go back and look at the statute. I don't deal with it much. But if that is the specific reason, like if I find out that you're Hispanic, okay, and I maybe call you a racial epithet and punch you in the face, So one could draw that I punched you because you're a Hispanic person, so the assault was based on you being Hispanic, and that would be considered hate crime.
Are there a lot of those in Hillsborough?
No, I can't remember maybe one or two in the past 5 years that we've actually prosecuted as specifically as a hate crime. You see, you'd be surprised that most violence is intraracial, so it's not, Caucasians attacking Hispanics. It's, people within their own culture.
Do you believe community policing and especially mediation is effective?
I think community policing is absolutely effective, and this is just one example. You can leave a note on my door or send me an email, and all of a sudden you got an interview. So just being able to, just having access to a cop, I think is pretty neat. And the idea in the neighborhoods is to have neighborhood access to a cop. Sometimes we don't take that far enough. I don't think we did, but I think it has community policing in its purest form has the effect of calming, helps people in the neighborhood feeling safer. It gives a feeling of better livability in the city. People want to come here. If you go into a community and you look and you go, I feel safe here, it's a place where you want to live. And if you look at the basics of community policing, it keeps bad guys out. You don't just react to crimes. Actually, what you're doing in the community helps keep people, the bad guys, out of the city, which helps better. Mediation is a tool. I think it works really, really good for some stuff. And again, it just depends on the circumstance.
Are there any particular circumstances that come to mind that mediation is or is not effective for?
I think if you've got a couple of people or a group of people who just don't agree on something, and there's no real one thing you can just grab onto and say, okay, do this. And I think sitting people down and say, and letting them kind of air the, get everything out on the table and let them come up with a solution is a good thing. Well, it's nothing new. We've been doing it for years. It's just now got a fancy name and we get a grant for it. So.
What changes has Ron Louie enacted since he became chief?
A number of them. The idea of community policing is born. And he helped. When he came here in 1992, I was big into community policing. And it was, first of all, because that's the way I was learning to be a cop back in the late 70s, is you were just a beat cop. I was a police officer in the city I grew up in. Everybody knew me. On day shift, I'd go into coffee shops, sit down, a cup of coffee with the boys, and walking down the street and saying hi to everybody and talking to folks. And that's just what you did. He kind of brought that idea back to Hillsborough. Now, obviously, I didn't start here, but... he reinforced what the rest of the police department here said. This is the way you should be conducting business here. This is what you should be doing. And it was fun for me because it was refreshing. I had a chief who was saying, I agree with you. Go do your job like you think you should be doing.
Specifically, he's very against force and the whole chasing after someone if they don't pull over who has a burnt out taillight because that could be dangerous. Could you explain any of his theories or training with that?
Well, I don't think it's necessarily his. I think law enforcement, especially West Coast law enforcement, is moving toward that. We're now recognizing that we shouldn't be chasing people for a taillight. I figured that out 15 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
It's a no-brainer. So developing the attitude on the street officers, okay, pick your battles. Is the end result worth what it's going to take to get you there, or is there another way to handle it?
So do you guys just record his license plate or something?
Sure. Usually we got a license plate number anyway, so we just go after him later. It's not that big a deal.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously if it's a bank robber or murderer or something, then we're going to take it a little farther. But it's, and as much as Chief Louie has kind of brought that forward to the forefront here, if you talk to older, mature street cops, they're saying the same thing. Don't get paid $100,000 a year, say it.
Do you think any of the police officers strongly oppose it?
Oh, absolutely, yeah.
could you think of what their reason might be for opposing
Absolutely.
Military force?
Because, you know, they got to get the bad guy. It's a power thing, you know. It's an authority thing. It's so you go through stages in your career, but you can't do that. They're going to get you for that. And it's nothing personal. Mm-hmm. It's just that, you know, you broke the law, you need to take it. You broke the law, you go to jail. You broke the law, I'm going to catch you. It's just funny, I heard an interview with a sergeant from an agency in down south, southern United States. And he was talking about this new police car they bought, all fast, new Camaro or something, I don't know what it was, goes 900 miles an hour. And basically, he just put the challenge out. He said, okay, people, go ahead and run from us now. We'll catch you. Man, that's just nuts.
I heard in Italy, Lamborghini donated some cars to the police force there. And that seems like sort of the same thing.
I
like,
could drive a Lamborghini.
Yeah.
That'd be a style of mine. Yeah. Keep my natural
Honda
gas on
the Civic. Lamborghini. I've also read in an article that Ron Louis has brought about the change where we have to report everything. If you even unholster your taser, that must be reported. Has that changed any of the way that you have to do anything?
No, not really. It just, what it has done is, if there's a question about what we do, we can absolutely have numbers. This is how many times we've pointed our gun at somebody. This is how many times we've hit somebody with a baton. This is how many times we've taken our baton out and not hit somebody. So it's a matter of course, not every time I pull out my gun am I going to shoot somebody.
Mm-hmm.
So I can say that in my career, I probably pointed my gun at somebody 150 times, and I haven't shot anybody. I might have displayed my baton 150 times. I've only hit two people. So it's a case of, you know, somebody accuses me of excessive force, you know, I can go back and say, no, because here's the times that I could have done it, I didn't. In this case, I did, in documented circumstances. So it's just a matter, it's a pain in the butt, you know, because we got it's another form to fill out, but it's worth it. Just for that fact, we can go back in the records and say, no, you know, we don't just hit people with our baton. You know, and plus the fact that we can say, yeah, we pointed the taser at him, the guy said, oop, I don't want to be tased. So we can say that works.
But the whole form process, like, what do you need to do to report, like, what you've done? Let's say someone was speeding and they ran from you and you went and you found them, you arrested them, whatever. What will you have to do after you get back to the police station? Like, after all of the, you know, exciting part is over.
Oh, yeah, the stuff you don't see in a cop. You got to write it all down. Everything. From start to finish.
Is that ever hard? Do you ever go, okay, wait, what? Who did that first, you know?
Yeah, especially in cases where and incidences go very quickly, and you don't really have time to sit down and jot down notes, where you're just doing one thing right after another, boom, 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 and at the end you got to sit down and figure out, can I do this first or that first? So it's kind of hard sometimes.
Do they ever train you on how to remember it while you're doing it in the Police Informatics Academy?
I'm fortunate that I can process that.
Uh-huh.
It took a lot of math. So, Dad was right, math isn't just about learning math, it's about learning other things. But, no, you really don't. It's just something I think in a lot of people it's a learned skill, and some people never get it.
Do you think it's easier when you have like a partner with you or something?
No, actually it's harder with a partner, because you see, if you look at something, you look at something, and I look at something, we're going to see three different things.
That's interesting. So you think it's harder to do your job with a partner, or just harder to remember it?
Well, it's harder. It's easier. Well, it depends on the situation. With a partner, it's nice because you can say, okay, I'm going to do this, this, and this. You go to this, this, and this. And then you come back together and put everything together. I don't say it's harder working with a partner, but I prefer on most cases to work alone.
How do you feel the overall Hillsborough mentality is toward police? Do you think we're the kind of city to think, oh, pigs or whatever? Do you think Hillsborough is a police accepting place?
Yeah, I think we have a very good reputation with the community. in the last 10 years, we have never, when we've been out and asked for money, we've never had it fail. It's always passed, just overwhelming. And I think that's an indication that the community says, yeah, we're doing okay. We're spending our money wisely. We're getting our money's worth. We'll give you a little more. And I think, you know, that says a lot for an agency.
I was looking at some crime statistics and saw that Hillsborough has an overwhelmingly larger percentage of rapes than the nation. Do you know why any of that would be?
I'm not familiar with that statistic.
I forgot. I got it off of some like Bureau of Crime Statistics, and it was just like huge. It was like 187 for every 500 people get like commit rapes, and then the national is only like 40.
Boy, I have to go back and look at that. Because I think that sounds a little skewed.
That sounds skewed?
Yeah.
All right. Because I was wondering, that seems...
That's a lot.
Yeah, that's a huge number.
That's a lot. And, you know, stranger-to-stranger rapes are rare. So it's I don't know.
Do you believe that statutory rapes are included in that statistic?
Oh, rape is rape. Yeah. You know, even if it's statutory rape, if it's rape one, it's rape one.
Is there anything else you think we've missed or anything?
Well, you covered a lot of big topics.
All right. Well, thank you so much for
that's it?
Yeah, longest
interview.
Oh,
you got it. That was easy. I appreciate it.